Can we just have a round of applause for all the speakers and the worship leaders?
Now, at least he didn't say throw money, but hey, I would like to put that song up on there.
Yes.
I'm going to pray first, but then we can play that song.
Okay.
It's a good thing he's young. He can run like that, huh? I need the power of the Holy Spirit when I run now. I can't do it on my own. So in my weakness, he is made
perfect.
Strong and perfect. Yeah. Oh, my. Father, we just thank you. We praise you this afternoon. We've heard so many good things. And the neat thing is, Lord, that your promises, the promises that we live by, are all yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And it has been said here today, so many good things, so many good things, so many things to stir us up, to get us to look up, look forward, not stay where we're at. In our fleshly side, there's that feeling of drawing back. But your word tells us in Hebrews that we're not to draw back unto perdition. We're to believe to the saving of our soul. So, Lord, wow. I feel so insufficient in myself now. But Paul tells us that our sufficiency comes from you. And so, God, we're asking for a demonstration of that sufficiency now, that I would be able to finish what you have been doing all along, because you've been speaking through these men to us. And the neat thing is, too, that you not only spoke through these men, but your word says that has been said here today, that you write on our hearts and you put these things in our mind. You're not counting on our flesh, you're not counting our intelligence, you're counting on the Spirit of God in us to do a miraculous thing in us and transform us into the image of your Son. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Lord, we're counting on you to do that today for the speaker and for those who hear, that their ears be open, their eyes be open, their heart would understand what the Spirit is saying. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you would stand up and just listen to the words and sing along with this song. It's a good confession to make, and it's the truth. And if the truth gets in you, it'll make it, the truth will make you free. You don't make yourself, the truth will make you free. God works. He's just not watching and seeing what we're doing. He's involved in our lives. He wants to be involved. We have to let Him. Like, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Okay, brother, would you play that for us? I'm a child of God. Oh, yes, I am. In my freedom, He attracts me. His grace runs deep. When I was a slave to sin, the realm of me. Jesus, He died for me. Sun sets free, all is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Oh, yes, I am. Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Oh, yes, I am. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Are for me, not against me. Oh, I am who you say I am. Chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. So for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Am who you say I am. The sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. The child of God. Oh, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. A child of God. Oh, yes, I am. Fathers, there's a place for you. There's a place for you. There's a place you belong. It's for you. It's your place. Yes, and He's called you to it. Don't let the enemy cause you to draw back from what God has called and chosen you to be. Even before the foundations of the world, He called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light for His will and for His purpose to be fulfilled in your life. Not by your strength, not by your power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus Christ, His Son. Chosen. You are who He says you are. You is for you. He's not against you. Yes. I'm chosen, not forsaken. Oh, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. Oh, I am who you say I am. Chosen, not forsaken. For I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. All is free indeed. God's not a liar. Yes. Oh, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Oh, yes, I am. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. There's a place for you. There's a place for me. You know, Satan, he's the liar. He's a deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of God. He's just an accuser all the time. But the truth is, and the truth is what makes you free. And when you know that truth, it will make you free. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not something you just Oh, and now I understand. Now I'm going to do it. Without him, you can't do it. I can't do it without him. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father which is in heaven. Paul said, I can, you can, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But like our brother said, you got to admit you're weak. You can't go in your own strength. You can't go in your own ability. Even if you did it yesterday, today you've got to be in God. Today I've got to be in Him. Today I've got to hear His voice. I've got to have this relationship with God and understand that He is for me and not against me. Amen. You know, it's something there. Looks like we're not going to go with where I saw him. Anyway. 1 John, it says, you know, if we confess our sin, that's been mentioned. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next verse, if we say we have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in us. Brethren, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's on your side. He's for you. He's not against you. Amen. He called you when you were in darkness, when you were dead. Dead people can't do anything.
That's right.
But He called you and He quickened you by His Spirit. And He seated us together with Christ in heavenly places. That's what it says. Amen? Well, a lot of times, I don't feel like I'm in heaven. I don't think I'm there. You know what I mean? So it isn't, you know, when we mess up, the first thing we got to do is confess up. Just to confess it. And you know, I had some trouble in my life when I first came back to God, and I had this problem, and I knew I shouldn't be doing it, but it just grabbed a hold of me, and I couldn't. Every time it came, I just gave into it, and then I felt really bad. Well, you know, you're supposed to confess it, so you confessed it, and so next thing you know, I do it again, and it's like, oh. And then pretty soon I got to the place like, I don't want to confess it. I don't want to do it. But I can't. But I know I got to confess it. You don't give up. And we heard that. You don't give up. Why? Because the promise. See, faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Believing not in you, but in God. And believing what His Word actually says. That He, no, this is one. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writes this, you can be confident of this very thing, that He that begun a good work in you is going to perform it, which means to perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We've seen in Ephesians that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which He has foreordained, or he purposed these things, like been said already this morning. He wrote these things down that you are going to do after you're saved, before you were even born. But you can be confident this very thing. He that begun these things in you, that He's going to finish it. Now, you didn't find Christ. God called you. God called you out of the darkness. And He started a good work in you. And He's able to finish it. Father Abraham's are an example of faith. Amen? And what did it say? It said, Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, that he was able also to what? To perform it. Well, he started this thing at 75, and he told them, when they waited till about 86, he was 86, and then he said, well, you know, something's going wrong here, where nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And so they figured out a way. You know, Sarah had this great idea. And being a man, he submitted himself to his wife and said, yeah, let's do that. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? All right. Case for some. All right, so anyway. So when God begins to talk to him again, and he says, oh, that Ishmael might walk before you. And God's probably ever saying, boy, the guy doesn't get it. The guy doesn't get it. No, Sarah's going to have a baby. Well, that's impossible, God. She's barren. You know, I know that's not in the Bible, but you can see it's impossible. She thought it was impossible. Well, that isn't good enough. God says, no, it's not going to happen yet. So Abraham gets 99 years old, and God comes to him again. There's a lot of space there, by you know what I mean? There's a lot of time goes in between. It looks like it's never going to happen. Amen? So, you know, okay, God didn't just say it once, but God said it a couple times, and at 99, he comes up again, and he reminds Abraham, Abram, I'm changing your name to Abraham. I'm changing your name to Abraham, father of many nations. And Sarai is going to be Sarah. Yeah, well, I want you to call yourself that. I want you to introduce yourself as Abraham. Well, I got nothing to show for it. Well, let's go back a minute. You know, I just thought about this the other day. You know, if God had picked somebody like Jacob, had 12 kids, right? Hey, Jacob, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You got 12 kids, 12 boys. God don't know how to choose because he chooses this guy and his wife's barren. But he chooses the things that are not to confound the things that are. Amen? So when you feel insufficient, there's a good reason for that. Because what God's called you to do, you're not sufficient to do it. As Paul said in Corinthians, I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself, but my sufficiency is of God. Your sufficiency is from God. He doesn't want to glorify you. He wants to glorify himself. So he's got to use something where he can get the glory. And that's what he told Gideon. You have too many men. And the reason he gave, it wasn't too many men, not compared to what they were fighting. They couldn't even number those guys. It was because God said, I know you people. I know you people. If I defeat the enemy now with these men, they'll think we did it. They did it. But we're it to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And you've got to know the truth that without him, just like Jesus, you can do nothing. But on the other side of the coin, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen?
Amen.
You can't heal anybody. Oh yeah, but Pastor Reed just said about that scripture, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yeah, we lay hands on the sick, but God is the one who heals.
Amen.
That same spirit that was in Jesus Christ when he said, it's not me, don't look on me. The Father, he does the works. I see my Father work and I work. Whatever my Father says, that's what I say. Amen? Well, you got a Father in heaven and you have Jesus. And he says, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow me. And you know where it says in Ephesians about the marriage and the husband is to be, you know, the leader, as even as Christ, you know, we as husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But just as the wives submit themselves unto their husband, so the church needs to submit itself unto Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we're the bride. I'm going to say that or not. Well, anyway, you can take it off if you think it's... But I had this weird thought. You know, today this culture is, I'm not who I look like. I'm not who I should be. I want to be her or him or that. But if the women were here, you know they're sons of God, right? Well, for us, it's like we're going to be the bride of Christ. Amen? So they just got to wait a little bit, right? But really, that's just Satan. You know, he's just Satan. They don't know who they are. And they want to be something they're not. Well, God's going to speak. In fact, he takes those things that are not. He speaks that into existence. Amen? He calls those things that are not as though they were. So he's called you righteous. You were made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, but I just messed up, man. I just got mad again. I just threw the wrench over there or kicked the tire or, you know, yelled at this person. Whatever it is. It still is, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Another word for unrighteousness is iniquity. And every man is drawn away, you know, sins when he's drawn away of his own lust, iniquity. It's iniquity that causes us to do the same stupid thing again and again. God had it. God, his plan of salvation is perfect. Amen? It's perfect. It isn't up to the individual to make themselves perfect. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work and increase and make you perfect in every good work. And again, the other one is the God of peace, sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who has called you, who also will perform it or do it. Right? Right? So again, you're his workmanship. What stops him is me believing it. I gotta believe it. Who does he say you are? You're a child of God. You are a child of God. You're not going to be a child of God. You are a child of God. Amen? And when you confess the truth, then the truth makes you free. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, it happens. Amen? It happens. Supernaturally, it happens. I am who you say I am. Oh, I just love that. You know, I found that song because I was diligently seeking. I was cleaning the back porch, and I just had the pad on, and it was just going through songs on. And I'm cleaning. All of a sudden, I recognize, hey, what's that song? Sounds pretty good. So I did it again, and I did it again, and I'm hooked on it now. You know how you get a song at a certain season, it just seems like, oh, it just stirs me inside because I need it, I guess. I need it so much. He knows what things you have need of before you ask it, amen? And your Father delights in giving good gifts to his children. And don't, you know, I know, you know, there was a time in my life, yeah, cars, this, that, the other thing. Well, there, you know, God is going to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. But first of all, your biggest need is spiritual things. And he wants to give them to you. You were made. M-A-D-E. You were made. And I didn't do too good in English. You were made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He's you're his workmanship. Amen? So again, we've got to believe our faith is in him. And we can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Amen?
Amen.
Can I tell you the truth? After their brother was done, I thought, this is enough, Lord. I got to get out of here somehow. I can't do this. But we're not to draw back unto perdition, but we're to believe to the saving of our soul. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Greater, and this is the truth, greater is He that is in you.
Amen.
Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. I know it doesn't feel like it. I know it doesn't look like it. But the Bible says it's so, and it is so. Amen? And if Christ be in you, you know, that's your hope of glory. Not only your the hope of your glory, but the hope of those around you. They see Christ in you, Christ in me.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, might as well keep going here. Go with me to 2 Peter. Huh? Yeah, well, yeah. Where He leads me, I will follow. 2 Peter chapter 1. Actually, grace and peace, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace be... a man in our congregation was speaking about this, and he brought this out. And I never see... You know, it's like you read something, like our brother was saying. You read something over and over again, and it's like calloused or something. You don't see it anymore. But he brought that out. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Multiplied. Not 2 and 2 is 4. Multiplied. God wants to multiply His grace and His peace. Now, grace, yeah, unmerited favor. But the other one is God's divine influence upon your heart. God's divine influence upon your heart reflected in your life.
Yes.
In other words, somebody sees God's been working on you because what you used to be ain't what you are now. You're not acting like that anymore. And sometimes it surprises you when somebody says something. You're thinking, well, I ain't now. I ain't now. You know. Okay. Now, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So, the Spirit of God, Jesus said, it's needful for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. But when He comes, you know, He'll take of mine and He'll show it unto you. He's revealing Jesus Christ to us as we read the Word and as we listen to messages and stuff. He's speaking to us. His Spirit is witnessing to our spirit, and He's revealing Jesus Christ to us. Amen? We're getting to see more and more of Him, what He is, who God is. Like that thing, those posters you held up. It's one thing to read it, but it's another thing to have it written on your heart. And that's what the Spirit of God does. And you know, there's a verse for that. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if God is, the new covenant is that He'd write His laws on your heart and He put them in your mind, then He's doing that. Supernaturally, as you listen, as you receive with meekness the engrafted word in James, as you receive with meekness the engrafted word, it changes you. It saves your soul. Mind, will, and emotions, right? It saves your soul. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But it isn't you renewing your mind. It's you reading. It's seeking God. It's seeking after God and His righteousness. Then all these other things are added to you. Because when you're seeking Him, when you're receiving His Word, He's doing a miraculous thing inside of you and changing you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this: if we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You and I are God's workmanship. And so when we don't run from your weakness, like we heard, acknowledge it. I got this problem, God. But understand that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. He's the way out of where you are. It's funny, we call Him Savior. What's Savior mean? Deliver, set free, made whole. Spirit, soul, and body. He begun a good work in you. He's going to finish it. So He uses imperfect people. He uses people that are not enough. We're not enough. But we can't perfect ourselves. We're in a mess. Like Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who's going to save me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's the deliverer. He came to save. You shall call His name Jesus. Why? He will save His people. He will deliver His people from their sins. Amen?
Yes.
But it's because it doesn't happen all, you know, like a fairy tale, you know. Bam, you're perfect. But He calls you perfect. He calls me righteous. But it's so important that when I mess up, when I slip back, this came to me the other day too, and you have a choice. We have a choice. The people that aren't saved don't have a choice. They're born in sin. They're shaping in iniquity. There's no other choice. But you and I have a choice. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve my flesh? Am I going to keep walking the same way that I did before? Or am I going to choose to go with God? I'm going to choose to go with God. Okay, I want to be what You want me to be. I want to do what You want me to do. And then He starts to show us these things that He wants us to do or where we need to change. And usually, you know, it's a progression as He shows us different things. As we grow in Him, then He reveals different things that we need to change. He uses chastisement. Maybe I'll throw that in here. It is that, how much does God love me when I'm doing what's wrong, what He doesn't want? You know, how much does God love me when I'm not doing what He wants? Well, Hebrews 12, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. But He's not chastening me because He hates me. He's chastening me because He loves me. Amen? And the other thing is, when He's chastening me, He's not, just like you, He's not condemning me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But He'll chasten me. But He won't. He's not hating me. The Holy Spirit comes. He'll convict me. But He isn't condemning me. In fact, He's trying to get me out of condemnation. Amen? He saved me from condemnation. God so loved the world. Why? And that was the first question. You know, why? Why wouldn't God just give up on sinners? Because God so loved the world. He loved the world. That's why He didn't give up. It's one of the reasons He didn't give up. Because He loves us. And love does stupid things. Right? when we get saved, you know, it's like we give all that we are to Him, and He gives us, He promises everything He has to us.
Well, who gets the better end of that?
That's right, yeah. I'll give you my sickness, I'll give you my pain, I'll give you my lack of this, and my lack of this, and my lack of that. And He said, I'll take it, because He loves you.
Right.
He loves you. I had a dream the other week, and okay, we're all men here. It wasn't a sexual dream, okay? So I don't, anyway, but anyway, it was back when they had serfs and lords, and I was a carpenter. So I was working at these people's house. You know, this guy was some high official or something, had a daughter my age, around my age. And so, you know, I'm just a serf. I'm just a nobody. And she paid attention to me. She showed affection to me. Not, again, not sexual. Just made me feel so... I woke up and I felt so... Wow! That's a good feeling, God. Again, it had nothing to do with sex, okay? I can't explain to you how I felt, because I felt that... this love. And then God was showing me... I don't have a real grasp of God loving me. And maybe you're there too. We don't know what we don't have till God shows us we don't have it. Amen? You don't know what you don't know till you know you don't know it. Figure that one out. But really, you don't know what you don't know till you don't know. If somebody tells you, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, well, now you know it. Now you can forget it. So, all right. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So how much more will He not freely give us all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Amen? Amen? God is for you, that song. God is for you and not against you. He's not waiting for you to mess up. If He was waiting, He wouldn't have to wait long, right? Because you don't know, and I don't know everything that I'm not doing right yet. Like Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Well, why don't you just... My wife says one time, she said, she was asking the Lord, God, I just want to know everything that's wrong. I want to show me. Please show me everything that's wrong inside of me. Just starts, and God started to do it. And she said, it went for a day or so. Then she said... Shut it off, God. I can't take it. I can't take it. Because you got to know one truth before you can get the other truth. The truth, the first truth is that you got to know that God loves you. God really does love you. Why? I don't know. And if you're truthful, you don't know either. Amen. If you know the truth, there's no reason for Him to love you. Just like in that dream I had, there's no reason for this girl that, you know, she was going away to some place. They were sending her to school, and she's, you know, just being kind, speaking nice words to me, and I'm thinking, I'm just a serf, you know, I'm just a serf, and it's just, well, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was dirty, and you were dirty. And He called me out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Wash me with the blood. Wash me with the blood. And when I'm washed in the blood, when you're washed in the blood, then in God's eyes, you're holy. Amen? Because as Hebrews, that blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sins. It covered them, but it never changed the people. The people's heart stayed the same. And so every year, they had to keep doing the same thing again and again. But Jesus' blood, Jesus and God's plan of salvation is perfect. It's perfect. We're back to 2 Peter again. Okay. So according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, knowing Him. It's about Him. And as it started out with that, you know, the song this morning, Rich's song. It's worshiping God. It's worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so today, you know, even in Christian circles, this method or that method or this thing, this is how to get out of this, this is how to do that. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. Because see, as you look into Jesus, as you're looking unto Jesus, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author, you know, that's another place we don't have time to go to, but we were there in Hebrews chapter 12. You're putting away the sin that does so easily beset us. And the next, there's a comma there. It isn't a period in the King James. It's a comma. And it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the beginner, the perfecter, and the finisher, and everything in between of your faith. Amen? Again, you can be confident. You can be confident. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Because if you continue to believe, you will receive. And though it tarry, you'll wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. And the prophets and those in the Old Testament, it says they received the promise through faith and patience. Patience. Oh, I don't know. I don't have much patience. Well, God's got one for that too. Colossians 1. Paul's praying for them, and he said, you know, that he would. Am I going to get it? Maybe not. I better go there. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering. Now, get this one. This one will kick you. He's praying for them that God would strengthen them with might. You know, with the power of His might, with all. Nah, I'm missing it. I'll go there. Colossians 1. Because the Spirit can bring this back to you and know that, you know. And this is good too, because this is something we can pray for one another. You know, everything. Everything has to have its foundation in prayer. Starting out with prayer. Even, you know, what Rich was saying this morning, I thought about what somebody said. It was Kenneth Hagin. It was said, you know, that he was trying to get his brother saved, and he was a black sheep of the family. And so one time he's riding down the road in the car, and he's seen somebody along the side, and he reminded him of his brother, and he said something about, Lord, you know, I did this, I've done that, and everything. And he said, why aren't you getting saved, or something like that? And he says, I thought I heard somebody in the car. He said, I looked around to see if somebody was in the car, and in the Texas accent, or what he's, that's what I'm trying to do, or something like that. And then, what? You know, he says, I thought somebody was in the car. That's what I'm trying to do. Well, he says, I fasted, I've done this, and I've, you know, talked to him. And then he said, but you didn't do what I told you to do. And he took him back to that verse. See, the fields are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of harvest that He send forth labors into the field of harvest. So he did it. It's amazing. He did what God told him to do. And he did other things, just like you, brother, was saying this morning about you did this, and you did that, and you did. It didn't work because that wasn't what needed to be done. The will of God. So he did it. And a week later, he finds out that brother got saved. God used somebody else to do it. Could you imagine that? I don't think it hurt him a bit that God would use somebody else to. You know what I mean? But sometimes you think, you got to do it. I got to do it. And what you got to do first is pray. And this just goes for helping one another. The biggest thing, I used to think about missionaries that came into the church, you know, and they'd say about this and other. We really covet your prayers and support. And I'm thinking, yeah, the support. See, I'm not perfect either. But now I see, now where I'm at, I see, I'm not praying, you know, I'm not asking for support, I'm asking for prayers. Amen? Because God can do some marvelous things. Because here in Colossians 9, 1-9, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And sometimes there's people in the church that God brings to my mind, you know, I'm concerned, Lord, if they're going to do the wrong thing here, that, you know, I wonder if they, you know, they do, you know, and then God reminds me of this. Well, pray and ask me to fill them with the knowledge of my will for their life. Amen. Don't think that I got to. I don't know what He has planned entirely for them, but they got to be led and guided by the Spirit. So the best thing I can do for them and for anybody else is to fill them, God, fill them with the knowledge of Your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of You, Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I said to God sometimes, I said, but God, I need that. Well, what's the Bible say about giving? And I think you brought that up about, it isn't just money. Give and it shall be given unto you in good measure. As the measure you meet, it's going to be measured back to you again. So if you want somebody to pray for you, you better pray for them. Because then God can open up the door and give it to you.
Come on.
Right? So we do need each other, and we need each other, and we need to pray for one another. Okay, and know that God can do the impossible thing. God can do the impossible thing. Well, maybe I don't want to use anybody. God, this knucklehead, I want to get him straight. Did he do the right thing? And it's like I'm trying to get him to go straight. I keep telling him this, and he keeps going this way. But God's able to get to that man's heart. Amen? Amen? And there was a thing in my... There was somebody in my church. I had to go talk to him about something. And I said, oh, God. You know, I don't know. And I kept putting it off. And then finally, I said something to him. He says, you know, I was going to ask you about that, Pastor. What? Somebody got to him before I got to him. Amen? And praise God. Okay, now I'm going to finish. So, strengthen with all might. 11. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. So God's able to strengthen you with all might. Not according to your all might, but according to His all might. According to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of His inheritance in saints in light. So you're God's workmanship. I'm God's workmanship. I got to continue to believe and trust in Him. Amen? Being fully persuaded like Abraham that what He has promised, He's able also to perform it, even though I don't see it and feel it now. Okay? Okay, back to Peter. And we'll finish this up, I think. According as this... 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, which another verse translated by glory and virtue, whereby, now look carefully, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of His divine nature. You know, in Ephesians it says when we were saved that our nature was to do evil. Our nature, that was our nature. Amen? And so they don't have a choice. That's their nature. Well, here God wants to put His nature in you and in me. So it comes out of my innermost being. The love doesn't come from here. It comes from here. I want to do the will of God. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? I can try in the flesh to do this or to quit this or to do that, but without Him I can do nothing. But with Him all things are possible. So, these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we are partakers of His divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Back to James, you know, every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust. And here God wants to put His very nature in you. Becomes your nature. So you don't think about it. It just comes out of us. Amen? And we've been changed in part. You have been, you're not what you used to be. But there's more to go. There's more to go. But don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't turn back. As you've heard that already. Because God, your God, loves you. And He's interested in you passing the finish line full blast. Amen? 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 Trusting in Him, believing in Him, that what He had promised, He's able also to perform it. And He's promised you this. I want to take you maybe one other place. 1 John chapter 3. And this is maybe the answer to the last one. How does God see those under Christ's blood different than others? How does Christ see those under Christ's blood different from others? How does He see us that are saved from those who were not saved? Well, in John, don't go there, but in John 3, He says, you know, God so loved the world. But in 18, it says, If they believe not, if they don't receive it, they're condemned already because they don't believe in the Son of God. Amen? They're condemned already. But you're not condemned because you believe. Amen? You believe in Jesus Christ. So that's the difference there. Now this one here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called. See, Abram was called Abraham. And it came to pass. Amen? Well, he had one child. You can't say that's the father of many nations. But it's still going. Amen? You're a child of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham. I'm a child of Abraham, right? It's still growing, right? The promise is, Abraham isn't here anymore. But he isn't dead, but he's not here. But it's being fulfilled, amen? And so you might leave here, but His promise is going to be fulfilled. Okay, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we haven't arrived yet. Amen? I've not apprehended, Paul said. I've not apprehended all that I've been apprehended for. But I'm going to press towards the mark of the prize, of the high calling. Where is it at? It's in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We'll be just exactly like Him. Why? Because we will see Him as He is. Back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That unveiled face, that unveiling, is talking about Moses and the taking the veil off his face. But Paul said this, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we see in part, but then we're going to see Him totally as He is. Amen? And when you see Him, you're going to be changed. Changed.
Amen.
Now, as we press towards that mark, we get to see Him. We get to grow in knowledge, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just this knowledge, but getting to know Him. You're getting to see Him more and more, getting to know who God is and what God's like. And as you see Him, the miraculous thing that God changes us into that image from glory to glory. And so we continue looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. And the next thing, and the next thing. And all along, we're getting hammered, we're getting shot at, we're being bombarded with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. But he's given us another promise. Now unto him who is able to keep you, to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. One of the things that the enemy used to bring to us, to me, was, and maybe does to you probably too, well, you're doing okay now, but you know how you are, you'll just mess up somehow. But see, God doesn't mess up. And so if I put my faith in him, he said, now unto him who is able to keep me from falling, who is able to present me and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And so God, help us. Father, I just pray today, God, you'd help us. Help us as you helped Abraham to be fully persuaded. Because God, I don't believe, again, like it's been said here today, that these people were just different than us. But as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Gideon finally had the courage to fight when he didn't. He wasn't what God said he was in the beginning, O thou mighty man of valor. But your words and your actions changed him into that image of what you said. And he became a mighty man of valor. And Abraham, you gave Abraham and Sarah the ability to bear when it was impossible for them to do it themselves. It was impossible. You gave her the strength. She said you gave her the strength not only to conceive in her old age and to bring forth a child. You gave them the strength, the ability. And that's our example. That's our father figure of faith. You took nothing and made something out of it. And you've called us and we had nothing. And we are nothing without you. But with you we can fulfill the call. We can fulfill the purpose. We can become everything you've ordained and called us to be. As long as we continue and we're not separated from the hope, the expectation that is in the gospel. And so we give you praise and we thank you this afternoon. Stand with me, please. We thank you this afternoon that you that begun this good work in us, that you're going to finish it. And why? Because we're doing everything right? Because we've done everything that we knew we should have done? No, but because you love us. You steadfast love. And of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. You're ready to save. You're ready to deliver. You're ready to forgive. You're ready to empower us to be what you have called and chosen us to be in Jesus Christ. And we say today, say it with me. I accept that.
I accept that.
I receive it.
I believe it.
Because your word says so. And I thank you for it, Father.
Help me.
Continue to strengthen me with might in my inner man by your Spirit. That my life would glorify your name. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh. To God be the glory, great things you have done. So loved you the world that you gave us your Son, who yielded your life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may come in. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Oh, let the earth hear your voice. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Oh, let your people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things you have done. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
God, praise you, Lord. Good being with you people today.